This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
Hi, everyone here and around the world. Hey, did you see the headline a couple of days ago? Quote, using the James Webb Space Telescope, scientists finally find signs of life on a planet twice the size of Earth, orbiting a sun about half the size of our sun. The planet is called K2-18b, and it's 124 light years away from Earth. Scientists at the UK's University of Cambridge, NASA, report that this is the first planet atmosphere beyond Earth to have dimethyl sulfide, or DMS, gas. On Earth, DMS is only produced by phytoplankton in watery marine environments. The UK scientists say there is more DMS on planet K2-18b than on our Earth. What's not yet proved is whether DMS on other planets in other solar systems will always be a marker that can, quote, only be produced by biological life, close quote. Back in our own solar system, scientists find new evidence of a mysterious Planet 9 out between the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto and the Oort cloud that surrounds our solar system. 7 years ago, in 2017, there were headlines that a ninth planet beyond Pluto was announced by astronomer Mike Brown, PhD, at Caltech, the California Institute of Technology. Astronomer Brown reported a mass between the Kuiper Belt and the Oort cloud that, quote, it has to be huge. It has to be something like 10 times the mass of the Earth. This is an object that is 5,000 times the mass of Pluto out there in the outer solar system, close quote. I interviewed Dr. Brown when he was using the Keck Observatory headquarters in Mauna Kea on the Big Island of Hawaii to look for infrared frequencies from the huge invisible mass, and he wasn't even finding those. And yet, Dr. Brown, working with a small international team of planetary scientists, had documented orbital irregularities in comets and other long-period objects that cross the orbit of Neptune. Quote, by using a computer simulation and taking into account various possible scenarios, the astronomers were able to determine that a large planet in the outer solar system was the most likely cause of the orbital irregularities. The study does seem to bring the possibility of Planet 9 back, close quote. And some people wonder, actually, if it could be the ancient Nibiru planet described by the Anunnaki. 4 years ago, an aerospace source told me that he has worked side by side with a tall white extraterrestrial who could manipulate timelines to solve engineering problems. The source told me that the tall whites have bony faces, pale blue or near white eyes, that their skin is like dry, powdery white chalk. They can live 500 to 850 years, growing 10 to 12 feet tall. They live in family units, and the parents are very protective of their children. Their home solar system is 82G Eridani, 19.7 light years from Earth, and has three orbiting super-Earth planets. Their sun is a spectral class G6V. Our sun is G2V. G-class stars have a temperature range of 5,000 to 6,000 degrees Kelvin. The G2 spectral type means our sun and 82G Eridani are both yellow-white in color. And the V luminosity means They are both hydrogen-burning main-sequence stars. The Tall Whites work with blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nordic ETs from Procyon A and B, another star system. Allegedly, those beings, the Tall Whites, can move point to point in our huge universe by skipping from our third dimension to another dimension, like the fourth, fifth, sixth, and beyond, where the Tall Whites and Nordics know how to make a cushion shot, like on a pool table, back into our third dimension, so that the 20 light years trip back to their home planet, they can make in a few seconds or minutes of Earth time from here. And now, in 2024, even astronomer and Harvard professor Avi Loeb, PhD, says, quote, UFOs could visit Earth through extra dimensions scientists are working to unlock, close quote. Professor Avi Loeb claims that UFOs could have traveled down to Earth via extra dimensions, and scientists are now trying to find evidence of six more dimensions for a new total of 9 dimensions in this universe. Back on Earth, in the last week of April 2024, TV news had headlines like this News Nation, quote, caught on camera, UFO over LaGuardia Airport, New York City on April 26, 2024. Michelle Reyes was aiming her cell phone out the airline window to photograph the LaGuardia Airport landscape of New York City when something black skittered rapidly across the frame. And when Michelle looked closely at the few rapid frames slowed down, it was not a bird. It's a black-colored, unidentified flying object. But whose? Human? ET? What? Only a couple of days before then, on April 24th, 2024, but across the Atlantic Ocean from New York, in the northern UK sea town of River Mersey, 205 miles northwest of London, a 32-year-old woman named Charlotte was with a friend watching the sunset when Charlotte grabbed her cell phone and started recording as mysterious, large, round, glowing lights began to move in patterns.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm shaking. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? I don't know. What? Gone? To UFO.
And Eric, I would really appreciate it if you could do a poll on a question that I'm now going to pose to our Earth Files YouTube channel viewers now. The question, how many of you here tonight think that opening up the truth that extraterrestrial intelligences are here on Earth and have been for a long time, that truth might help humans stop fighting each other, killing each other, or not? While Ian is receiving your feedback, I want to share with you a very strange 2023 report from an Ohio viewer in the Great Lakes region of the United States. Quote, I live in Ohio in the country. We are about 15 to 20 minutes away from the Akron Lockheed Martin facility, and maybe 10 minutes away in the other direction from a military camp that was used to make ammunition. No clue if that matters, and could have nothing to do with anything. Last summer of 2023, my daughter took my dog out and texted me that there was a huge black triangular craft over our house. She said it had lights on the bottom and was completely silent. As she looked, she saw military jets approach, and the craft moved away, and the jets couldn't get close to it. For a while, we got used to having military fighter jets fly maneuvers over our area. They were from the base that locals call the arsenal. They were loud and had to make wide turns to return to that base. I say this because one afternoon, my daughter was driving me to the doctor, and I looked out my window, and I was surprised to see one of these fighter jets hanging motionless over a cornfield. It was totally silent. My daughter was also surprised and said it wasn't possible for that jet to do that. The scene was so still and silent that it reminded me of looking at a painting. The other strange part was when I turned to look at it again, it was now facing the opposite direction. I don't know if the triangular craft was ours or not. If it was ours, I would think that fighter jets would maybe accompany it instead of chasing it, close quote. And I'm now going to ask Ian to share what he's pulled from tonight's questions and comments from you all so far. And part of that may be the poll that Eric is now taking or something different. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Linda. Thank you for that. And thank you for that good news that we may at last be seeing a headline that we are not alone in the universe. One of the comments here is, 1 week ago, a man looked 120 years into the past and saw the future open up. He couldn't shut his eyes for a week afterwards because the scientist, when interviewed, said he was unable to sleep because of the excitement of it all.
Well, details? Details from his look into the future?
Yeah, that was it. And someone else says it's so refreshing to see an actual real scientist talk about alien discovery. You know, everything that was said on this report was based on observation and collected data on this planet.
Yes, I know of some other future looks that some of them seem to suggest that in 20 years, Earth may be like a hot desert, and others go the other way. It's hard to realize that the non-humans that I'm referencing tonight, the tall whites, they have been described to me by a person who has worked with them in aerospace, that moving their minds into time back and forth, somehow interacting with time, the frequencies of time, speeding up whatever that means, the frequencies of time, in order to correct problems or discover, is something that we humans are not familiar with. But this has come up in other areas, such as human abductions, in which people are told there is no time. You do not understand the relationship, the true relationship of time. Well, given all of that, and that there are some dire predictions for the next 15 or 20 years about what could happen on Earth, I'm wondering if Eric has enough for you, Ian, to talk about from the standpoint, if we were all told the truth, if 8 billion minds and souls on a bell-shaped curve were finally told the truth, shown the truth, introduced to non-humans, do you think it would stop, or at least very much reduce, hatred between humans, fighting between humans, killing humans? I'm really curious.
Okay, we've got the results so far of the poll, and it's still rolling at the moment while people are still voting. 94% are saying yes. To 94%. Your question. Yeah. Now, going on from that, let me just check. There's a
it's a what my here. It's what my heart and soul would like, that if all of humanity, 94%, got on the same frequency of seeing all other beings as fellow beings, it seems to me that it would change. It should change. And is there something that is now blocking frequency changes of humans on this planet and switching like a pendulum to violent energy? What can we do as a species to try to counter? That's part of this. And knowing that other people who have interacted with non-humans, such as tall whites and Nordics, that they get the impression that if you concentrate, if enough minds and souls concentrate against evil, that you can bring good. And unfortunately, the opposite is also true. But how did the dynamics work? We are a young species in relationship to these older species. And I don't think that humans have either been shown enough or told enough. There's something that we have got to learn in order to live on and protect this planet from turning into a desert. So, Ian, well, any comments that are coming in, you just spontaneously can quote them to me, but otherwise, go ahead with other questions.
Sure. Well, the poll is now saying yes is 95%, but Tracy Murray raises a valid question and says, why would it stop us fighting when apparently the ETs are doing the very same thing?
The fighting between ETs is absolutely part of the story, and you're pointing out it's a paradox. I've always thought it was both a paradox and ironic. And yet, at the same time, the very fact that there are, as far as I know, that there are intelligences of different types who have been here for a very long time and have tried to help humans is enough reason, I think, to have these kinds of discussions. That even if there is the paradox that throughout the universe there may be civil wars, there may be other kinds of wars that on my star map that I use, and when it's up and you look at it, you will see that there are notations about how some solar systems within our interstellar neighborhood had wars where the reptilians were fighting Nordics. And in one case, at the star system Rigel, allegedly, the reptilians won that war, and the blonde Nordics had to move from Rigel to another system. These are, at this point in the world that we're in, we can't prove them, because anybody who has all of the evidence, it's underground in counter-intel and intel bases and structures. And I don't know when we will ever be told all of the truth. But the next evolutionary step for humans, doesn't it have to be having disagreements without war? Because we are now on the brink of people talking everywhere about, is this when somebody's going to be nuked? As if it were even a viable option. And Annie Jacobson's book that came out 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we talked about it in that Earth Files YouTube channel when it was being first released, of how many millions of people are expected to die in the first segment of time if there actually was some kind of major ICBM release. So in a strange way, even though there's a paradox that there are all kinds of statements by people in the abduction syndrome, by people in military, by people in intel, that ETs have warred with each other here. That may be related to the Anunnaki blowing up bombs that left a green, clear trinitite on the sands in India and other places in the Middle East. And if war then is part of the system of this yin and yang universe, I'm not surprised by it. But wouldn't all beings, in order to survive themselves, wouldn't they have to learn how to push back against evil? And it seems to me that on this planet, this is one of the struggles, the power of something that can take and influence, and we have to learn how to reject it. Go ahead, Ian.
We've had to rejig the poll, I'm afraid. It wasn't specific enough, and the new poll, I'm afraid, asks the question, if ET's presence on Earth was revealed, would that stop all war on our planet? And we've currently only got 36 for yes, and 64% say no, that people do not believe that ET's presence on Earth being revealed would stop all war on our planet.
Okay, what happened? Eric was doing a poll, and what happened about the estimate?
Our original poll wasn't specific enough. Our original poll was focused on should the truth about ETs on Earth be revealed, of which an overwhelming percentage of people said yes, 95%.
No, the question was if the truth were entirely revealed, would it stop humans fighting each other and killing each other? That was my question.
That's right, and that's what we've got up there now. And I'm just updating you that on this poll, as it's currently running, 35% are saying yes and 65% are saying no.
Well, I actually can understand whatever is the new recalculation people thinking, because that reflects, unfortunately, the evolution in history of our planet. The humans have never stopped fighting each other. But at the same time, there have been introductions to non-humans. But in the past, wasn't it done as beings that represented not another civilization as much as something in a historical religious category? And maybe there is a difference if we can keep going and be told the truth that there's a panoply of civilizations and some fight and some don't, and that what the tall whites and the Nordics would like to see happen, because they've been through it, is to see us evolve, looking at ourselves as fellow beings and not going to war. It keeps having the sense that it always fails, and that's the part that becomes depressing.
Okay, I want to just move on to some comments that you've made about the time, etc., because it's very important as well to note that if we're looking at K2 18B and we're seeing it 120 years ago, presumably we can imagine that alien scientists on K2 18B looking at Earth would see Earth 120 years ago, as someone commented, in the time of horses and buggies for transport. That's why the time is probably so important, that they can manipulate time and see us in real time. Vancouver UFO right. Says, Linda and Ian, I was taken to the past by tall white beings. They know how to manipulate time. Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, they do. And they're described by every person who has worked science, intel, aerospace, as that the tall whites have a way of manipulating time with their minds, having to do with speeding or slowing down frequencies, not comprehensible to us. But that's like one of the areas that they use in order to create, inspire, that there is something very important about their interaction with time, which would be wonderful to understand, and leading to, when does Homo sapien finally get onto a landscape where we're not trying to kill each other all the time, because the tall whites reject that. The tall whites want to see us learn how to live with each other in peace, even if we disagree. Go ahead.
And let me just go back as well to the report that you just published just now, where you put it on the screen, from a comment taken from one of our viewers from last week, living in Ohio, saw those jets frozen in the sky, which is a thing I've heard before of animals, birds, etc., being frozen in mid-flight. There's a detail in there which also relates to time. The commenter says, the other strange thing was when I turned around to look at it again, it was now facing the opposite direction.
Right.
Now, that would suggest in that detail that this was not a casual observation of UFO. This may have involved missing time. This is where there's a break in continuity, and the UFO is in a slightly different position, and something else may have happened. I spoke with two UFO witnesses on Saturday, and each one, although they originally thought that their experiences were as casual observers, had other details which would indicate that perhaps their encounters involved a lot more and perhaps missing time.
Right, and there is this ability of the advanced intelligences to manipulate time in such a minute way that it has been part of the abduction literature for a long time, where people would say things like this under hypnosis. I was picking up a book, or I was turning a page, and I am in a completely different other place. And in one of those stories that I've never forgotten, it was that they estimated that between the turning of the page in a book that was part of their original memory, that when they next looked up from the book to the room, and they were still in the room, eventually they would find that something like a year or 5 years or 7 years or whatever it was had actually passed, and they couldn't understand where were they during that period of time, and how did they come back into this world and into time without everybody else being panicked, or that there was a big report that somebody had suddenly, did they disappear? What happened? And you don't find those details either. It's that the abduction person, the abductee, is remembering the last thing that they were doing. And then when they are back in life here, it's as if they continue in that timeline, is perhaps the way to say it. But then they discover they're even in a different time. It's very difficult to comprehend. It's very difficult to understand. For the most part, most people know that something happened, that they remember a last memory, but they can't explain the manipulation of time.
Okay. Linda, there's a question. The further we go out from the Earth, does the higher intelligence continue to grow beyond our space and time? And that comes from May 777 Abel.
And meaning going from the space-time that we're in right now on Earth, what, out?
I suppose so, and going further out into space, i.e. that the further out we go from our planet, or from perhaps wherever we would sense that the universe may have expanded from, that the further out we go, that the more advanced the civilization is likely to be.
Well, but my space star map, it's very accurate. I wanted to make sure that I was doing it very accurately. And we're in a neighborhood. It's even called an interstellar neighborhood, with all of these planets that have various different humanoids. And the very fact that there are even people who have worked in the government who will say, yeah, this is right, we know about what happened here, that there are conflicts, that there are movements out of one planetary system into another. And we aren't given information. We don't have all the backgrounds even over what are the conflicts about. But it means that within, let's say, 50, 100 light years, that there are several solar systems in which, from government sources, they've been coming and going here on our planet, and that the Tall Whites and the Nordics are part of the genetic manipulation program, and that there have been others, and that we, Homo sapien, are a product of genetic manipulation by extraterrestrial intelligences on this planet. And that seems to be one of those bricks in the path of what is the truth that feels pretty firm. But then why would any of those end up in wars with others? That is a huge challenge. I've heard bits and pieces, but not worth reporting. And what is the key to evolution, a long, long civilization on a planet without war? And that comes full circle back to my question and what you're making the point, that if you go further out in time, would that mean that there were more evolved civilizations as you got to the edge of the moving time? And it sounds logical, but if there's anybody in our viewing audience or in the government or a scientist who has any real data, please send it my way. Earthfiles@earthfiles.com and proton mail and hard mail. I would love to hear from people who had any insights about this, because there's no question we're heading into the next decades, have to be, that we're going to be spreading in a space force already, as we are with ETs, going out into our interstellar neighborhood, knowing that there are millions of other solar systems in a huge universe among apparently maybe an infinite number of universes. It's mind-boggling and exciting at the same time. Ian, go ahead.
I'm going to acknowledge our super chats this evening, so thank you very much to our generous audience again. We've got Terry, Mark Petrie, Cap Chaser, Jody B, Cindy Vole, Whisper of Love. I'll come back and do a few more a bit later on. We've also got Tara Torretina here, Muriel from Argentina. And Muriel says, I have a question for Linda. Do you think we're going to have a government disclosure by 2025 or on 2025? And if so, would it be full disclosure or another half-truth disclosure?
I wish that I had solid information about any true disclosure timeline. I think that those numbers that have been repeated, they may have been presented to people in military and intel for special projects that they were working on for the government related to ETs. I've talked with a variety of people who definitely have had assignments and have told me things. They will not go into some areas because they signed NDAs and they don't want to be put in jail or prison, which shouldn't be in the first place. But we have to break through this strange classified reality that we're in, that the governments and trillionaires and the people running the planet and indirectly running aspects of the solar system, that they don't want the general public at this point, I guess, to still have the truth. But without that, everything, it seems to me, we keep spinning wheels, and that there are all of these false, phony things that keep being put out, like, oh no, they're going to tell us in X, Y, and Z of different times. It's kind of a way of playing like a game. Throw some meat, you know, to the warriors and let them fight about it. Meanwhile, what is really going to happen in the timeline? I don't have a clue. if those numbers of 20, 25, 26 in that area. The one thing that I can share in a kind of modest amount of information is that control remote viewers have had a date approximately out in the 2030 to 2040 time period for quite a long time that something in that decade would happen that would be perhaps of a catastrophic level of impact on the Earth. But I also wrestle with the idea that I personally think that consciousness and what you think about, what you pray about, what you meditate about, brings frequencies in that, whatever it is. And to concentrate on worrying about whether 20, 35, 25, 26, whether they're going to be open and glorious, we're finally going to tell Earth the whole truth and everything will be to help humanity going forward, and we're going to have a variety of extraterrestrials that will be helping us, and we'll be in a new renaissance, and everything will be glorious and joyful again. Yay, yes, let's let that happen. But then there are people who put out something that's completely opposite, that everything will be dead, that there will be wars, and all of the things that we're all worried about now. And so those two energies end up sort of canceling each other out, perhaps. We just don't know enough, and it's very clear that political and intel and military forces since World War II have become experts at how you put out one so-called headline, and then another headline that contradicts this one comes from another direction, and that's how you keep people at bay about what's happening. And we see that around us all the time with what has happened just in the last year since we thought that there were going to be more subcommittee congressional hearings that would open up more like David Grush and the pilots, and nothing, just confusion. But I don't lose heart. I don't want you to lose heart. One of the reasons to do the Earth Files YouTube channel is to try to keep bringing information that is coming from sources that I, as a journalist, feel that there is enough that should be shared until we finally get the whole big declassification and everybody is learning a whole new paradigm of truth. So it's a frustrating time. But it's also, in a strange way, exciting, because I do feel, and I think a lot of you do from the letters that you send, that there's a palpable feeling that we're getting really close to at least some kind of an announcement. And if it is about tall whites, if it is about Nordics, then the blonde, blue-eyed, like the Vikings. I remember somebody sending me from an office that was a military office many years ago saying, take this for what it's worth, but the Vikings were actually real ETs on this planet. I've never forgotten it because there was no proof. It was one of those sentences that makes you wonder about the history of Earth and the relationship between ETs and evolving humans. And that if the Vikings were pureblood ETs, in the faces of actual humans, when did that change and why did it change if they left and are in their own other solar systems, but we have blood lines on the Earth that are related to manipulation of DNA in already evolving humanoids that are being controlled and manipulated by the Nordic type, others by the tall white type, others by the grays, others by reptilians, others by praying mantises. The list grows longer. And I think it's safe to say that probably genetic manipulation of a variety of life forms on many different solar systems is one of the biggest machineries in this universe. It's just we need to start being told the truth on the many bigger pictures and what is really what might be coming in the next 20 years, that if we all knew the truth and contemplated on the truth, we might be able to have a positive impact on what unfolds. And Ian, any other comments on that first question?
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, we got the results of the poll. If ET's presence on Earth was revealed, would that stop all war on our planet? Yes, 37%. No, 63%.
And I think that is a pragmatic result, meaning that you look at what we're used to seeing and that people are saying, no, humans are not going to stop fighting each other.
That's
but,
right.
Like but I hope there is an alternative future timeline where we can be told the truth, we can be introduced to a variety of ETs and still evolve on a timeline or a future in which humans, Homo sapiens sapiens, will stop killing each other and be able to support the great, great potential of our fellow human beings. That's what I pray for every day. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah. Roger Murray, 5582, says, and he reminds us that May the 1st would have been the 104th birthday of J. Allen Hynek, the so-called godfather of UFO research. And that segues nicely to me announcing your upcoming conference appearance at Contact in the Desert, where you'll be part of the Legends of Ufology panel, which is hosted by Allen Hynek, Paul Hynek, who's J. Allen Hynek's son. And you'll be there alongside people like Richard Donner, Whitley Strieber, Travis Walton, and Russell Targ. Yeah. Contact in the Desert. I'm going to post the link on the chat here, and I'll put it onto the bottom of the comments, etc., and the description below the video.
And I want to insert here the last time I knew and talked with J. Allen Hynek. He and I had several conversations in the period of time that would have been after my film A Strange Harvest came out and was first broadcast May 25th, 1980. He and I met at a conference and ended up talking, as I recall, for 4 or 5 hours. And we were talking about things that had to do with history, philosophy, a whole lot of things. And we became really good friends in that very, very long discussion. And I saw him frequently at different, whether it was a conference or Dr. Leo Sprinkle was a good friend of Alan's. And every once in a while, we would cross paths to compare various notes. And the last time that I saw him, I got a phone call. It was 1986. I believe that was the summer. And I was going to be doing a documentary film in Ethiopia on child survival improvements there, where for the very first time in the history of Ethiopia, the government and the citizens were getting the trash out of the cities where the schools were and where people lived to a big landfill. And I was hired by UNICEF to do this documentary. And I was getting ready to leave to go to Africa I think I was scheduled to be there for about a month. And I got a call from, I think it was, wasn't Dr. Sprinkle, it was a good friend in Boulder, who was a friend of many of us. And he said, J. Allen Hynek is going to come for dinner. And he said, I'd like you to be there. And the three of us went out and were stunned that what Alan was talking about for most of that dinner, he had gotten a phone call that some office in the government had finally cleared, and that he was going to be, at least confidentially, J. Allen Hynek, shown actual craft and possibly bodies underground in a storage facility at Norton Air Force Base in California. The person saying those words to me was that night was J. Allen Hynek, and he was in a very somber mood. And he said, I don't understand why they reached out to me and got me on an airplane, and I flew to Norton, and I was finally going to be shown the truth. And I'm in the whatever the military building was that he was. And he had first excitement, and then somebody came to him and said, Professor Hynek, we're sorry, but the approval has been rescinded. And as he sat there in that dinner, he got into a, like, remembering and sharing things that he had seen and experienced in the research he had done, starting as an astronomer in a climate where it was difficult for the astronomer to be talking about UFOs and ETs, but that he had become convinced that that was a true part of all of the phenomena, and he wanted to know. He wanted to see the real craft and the real bodies and move on to having the world tell everything. And at this one point, I didn't know anything about his health. And he looked at me and he put his hands on my right arm that was like this, and he's sitting there and our friend is here. And he grabbed a hold of my arm and he said, Linda, do you think I will ever be vindicated? Hanging on to my arm. And I'm looking, I can see his eyes right now. And they were moist. He was profoundly sad. And the part I didn't know, I left the next morning for Africa. And it was not until I got back and I was editing and working on the child survival film that I learned that he had cancer and that he would die so soon after that. And his hanging on, do you think I will be vindicated? Alan, wherever you are, in this universe or another, we wish you, give you frequencies. You were vindicated. You were an astronomer who really did try to open up the truth. So no matter how many blocks and how many of your own efforts that you had to keep information from the public while you wanted to give it to the public, it's just like it is now. So wherever you are, dear Dr. Alan Hynek, thank you.
And thank you for that, Linda. And it's amazing that Paul is continuing work in the UFO field. I think he has another brother as well who works in effects on movies as well, if I'm not mistaken.
But well, and look at what Dr. Hynek, his going through and doing the very different categories having to do with how to investigate. He was an astronomer who became convinced that the abductees and people like Betty and Barney Hill and others, that they weren't lying, that this was the truth, and it was this gigantic secret that the government was keeping from everyone. And it frustrated him as much as it does us.
That's right. And to have his son now interviewing you at Contact in the Desert with the other legends of ufology, that's an amazing story in itself. So we're looking forward to meeting all of our viewers who can make the trip to Contact in the Desert. And let's just remind everybody to like us and subscribe, and also tell everybody that this Earth Files episode, as all Earth Files episodes, is also released as a podcast wherever you get your podcast from.
And I would like, as we're getting close to the end here, I would like to bring up another part of seemingly the schizophrenic aspect of this whole huge story. I came into it through bloodless, trackless animal mutilations. And remember back in the 79, 80, 81, in that period where I'm learning, I'm myself, I'm trying as hard and fast as I can to learn what is going on with the animals. And then that went to extraterrestrial biological entities quite quickly, from law enforcement, sheriffs, and others. And so then it means that my introduction to the facts of the presence of extraterrestrial intelligences on the planet comes through something that's very difficult and distasteful to report to the public. And right there you have a kind of self-censoring box that suddenly comes around. And then for the people who were working in human abductions, it's the same thing. A subject that's very difficult to talk about publicly, but you can't understand anything unless you really do talk about the details. And remembering the senior editor in a large book publisher company, looking at a manuscript that I had sent them for what became the book An Alien Harvest, and talking to the senior editor on the phone and being told, quote, under no circumstances would we ever publish these disgusting animal photos. And you say, but this is the evidence. There's no blood. There's no tracks. You open them up, missing organs, missing heart, and no excisions on the body. That was the collision of actual facts, actual details hitting a resistance of an entire civilization, saying it's not possible because we are alone and there are no extraterrestrials, and so we won't publish this book. We will not support anything that has to do with these disgusting photos. But they weren't disgusting. It's the opposite. They're pristine. And that eventually it has been the evidentiary discoveries of high heat in the collagen, in the hemoglobin, in the animals, technology used to excise the tissue. Jump over to human abductees. The fact that there have been scoop marks, that there have been things happened with sperm and eggs in humans that relate, again, to evidentiary patterns in which there is something that is harvesting fluids, genetic material. We don't know the whole picture. But that was the introduction, missing time and abductions, animal mutilations that are bloodless and impossible to explain. And that's how so many of us came into there's other life in this universe. There's other life in this Milky Way galaxy. And some of this life, mixed and matched genes on planet Earth for a very long time toward some goal that is still not clear to the vast majority of the 8 billion that now live on planet Earth, and that we are in a moment in which our very presence in 8 billion can harm the future balance of the Earth itself with the evolving Homo sapiens, that we are jeopardizing ourselves, perhaps with what we are doing to our own planet. Maybe, even though no one wants it to be true, that it all is coming through problems, but maybe it's now becoming serious enough, described seriously enough by people in military and medicine and other disciplines, that we're finally going to move from don't talk about it, non-disclosure agreements, nobody is to know anything, to finally open up, meaning officially open up, between now and what year? Meanwhile, at the Earth Files YouTube channel, to the best of my humble ability, I am trying to share with you what I think to be important facets, and that the animal mutilations and the human abductions and military technology back engineered from what we have discovered about extraterrestrial technology, and that the non-humans themselves that are really advanced may be the big players of everything that is happening. And that we have got to open up the classification of reality and be on a planet in which the motivation is to tell and learn all of the truth. And then maybe the evolution of Homo sapien going forward would no longer have wars, not self-destruction of our own planet, but that we would be joining in a future Star Trek, evolving in the Milky Way galaxy and beyond. That's what I always hope for. I would love to be on a ship that explored. And on that, I love you guys for trying so hard to understand too. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents, and visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.